Sam Ackerman is in Tauranga. Kia ora, welcome.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm good, but I'm reading weather reports that it's going to rain for this opening day of the test. Have you seen that?
Well, if you look to play a test match in England, you are expecting it at some point, aren't you? It's not a, you know, this shouldn't be a surprise, but the World Test Championship for the first time ever contested, and of course it'll rain. It has to. It wouldn't be a test match without some kind of interference.
I was hoping they might get the first couple of overs in, though, before let's get started at least.
Within context of this test, there is actually a reserve day for this test match. So if there is a day rained out, they can actually extend this into what would be a sixth day, but there's a whole bunch of, you know, as you expect with test cricket, a whole bunch of protocol to decide whether that is the case or not. But if we do lose a day, fear not, there will be the chance to play more cricket. And I'm beyond pumped for this match. I haven't been this excited about looking forward to a Black Caps match, and there's been a lot to look forward to of late in a very long time. Probably the last time I got this worked up was ahead of a certain Boxing Day test match that we don't speak of anymore.
So you're going to stay up all night with the baby just to watch it?
Well, I think the baby's, judging by the form of the last week, I'm a good
You're
chance.
You're putting your hand up for the night
being
shift.
Being awake at that time anyway. I think I'll be assigned it as well, let's be fair. But my wee girl may get herself a test cricket education. But it's, look, what a moment this is for the Black Caps. And before we even kind of get to it, we should sit back and be thoroughly proud of what this group of young men have managed to achieve. They are number one in the world in the rankings in test cricket, number one in the world in the ODI rankings, and number three in the T20 format. That makes them the best team in world cricket right now. We're not the most powerful nation. We know there's politics involved, but right now New Zealand leads the way in international cricket. And if they can get this world title, it's been so elusive for New Zealand in the bag, what a moment it'll be. It is a team that we've often referred to ourselves as plucky with some good players in there. There's no pluck or luck involved with this team. This is a highly skilled group of cricketers who are right now performing pretty close to the peak of their powers. And a lot of experts in the field have called this our strongest ever team that we've fielded in the history of Test cricket, and it's pretty hard to argue looking at the stats and the form they're carrying on.
In terms of depth, you can't argue with it. And listen, two other words, Gary Stead, who people were writing off just a couple of seasons ago when he took that break, and you know, he inherited progress that had been made by Mike Hessen in terms of systems and development of people, but you know, it's not, as you say, it's not an accident, it's not luck. There's a lot of moving parts that have come together very nicely here.
There was a group of people calling for Kane Williamson not to be captain a while ago. I mean, this is what we do in this country. This is why we can't have nice things in general. But they've come through the other side. It's been wonderful to watch the transformation of the team. As you say, Mike Hessen has made a real impact on this, and his legacy shouldn't be forgotten. But Gary Stead deserves a ton of credit for what he's done. Listen to this stat. So in the 7 years from 2007 to 2013, they played 57 tests, won 12, and lost 27. From 2014 through to now, 59 tests, about the same, won 32.
Heck.
Lost 17.
So they've completely reversed it.
Completely. Mm. So that is phenomenal. If you talk to cricketers, this is, and we know we're not talking about TV audience, but this is the form that we really want to see a team succeed in. This is what every cricketing nation really judges their success on. We'll take all the other results too. But it's phenomenal. Should be an absolutely corker of a test. I think that they will take Aejas Patel into it. I think they should. The Indians have named their side, who are a very strong side. We can't write off India. There's no fait accompli at all. But they've taken in two spinning all-rounders and the two rubbies, Ashwin and Jadeja. And I think we should take a spinner in two. I don't like taking one out of the pace attack, so I think he comes in replace of Granholm for me.
The all-rounder. I would agree with you, actually. Look, if we were in a different state, if we didn't have the depth we had, you take your all-rounder, someone like de Grondholm, because you get two bites of the cherry, depending on what's happening. But actually, that pace, lineup, and the spinner—you've just got to, trust them. Get on, do the bowling, and then you've got to trust your batting lineup to deliver and rely less on the all-rounder who gets you out of shtock, right?
Yeah, and our natural knee-jerk reaction as New Zealanders is that we need really good batsmen at 7 and 8. Because we're so used to them needing to dig us out of a hole. But look, traditionally, what's gone on over the past year and a half now, 2 years, that batting lineup is delivering what they need to do. So we need to have faith in them. There's no reason to write them off, but we know that there's a few guys down the bottom of the order who can throw a bat. We know that even Neil Wagner can get in there and occupy a crease and be resilient and forceful for his team as well. So this is a group of very talented, very courageous cricketers who we should be proud of. And man, it's something to point out as well. We remember back so vividly a couple of years now to the heartbreak of the one day World Cup final. If this game does not get a result, it's a tie. We become joint world champions with India, right? Test match cricket is known to have a draw from time to time. If that is the case, then New Zealand will be joint world champions. Not how we want to do it, but fear not. We're not going to suddenly be gnashing our teeth at some ridiculous
ball, ricochet off a
wrong.
Bat and go for four.
Exactly. So there won't be any kind of madness and craziness. It means that New Zealand can play to the rules of test cricket. They don't have to suddenly do something crazy.
Just tell me there's not some crazy alternative to the Duckworth-Lewis system or something that's going to end up in court at the end of this over the rain.
I sure as hell hope not, because I'll lead the lawsuit.
Okay, excellent stuff. Looking forward to it. What do you think they'll do first then? I know, well, if we're going to get a wet start to the game, if you had your pick with the way both teams are lining up, what would you do first?
I'd bowl, looking at that, what I've seen pictures-wise of the pitch. I think there's enough green top to it for our seamers to get in and have a crack at them. And
If it's interrupting, it's better to be in the field sometimes, isn't it, than trying to start and restart innings? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think so.
Much to look forward to, Sam. I'm excited too, although I won't be able to see it. But
no, late night gym sessions. Make sure I don't know if your gym's 24/7, but you're going home for a nap after this. That's prescribed, Catherine. And after that, it's staying up all night, jogging. Take water and coffee.
So hang on, we're talking Spark though, or has Sky got their
Sky?
Sky. Oh my god, I am going to be overnighting it on the treadmill. Okay.
I don't advocate for people to what they should do to go spend with their money, but if this will be a historic test, and you can get short-term passes for things like Sky, right? You can buy day pass, match pass, whatever. So there are options to get in and get out, if you know what I mean.
Someone's asking if they can listen. I don't know. BBC do an international broadcast?
Yeah, no,
or radio sports? Some sort of radio sports back now, isn't it?
It's radio here. I believe Gold AM, I think, has it. And if you like the quirkiness, there is the, of course, the ACC alternative cricket commentary as well, with those madcap boys on. They'll be on Facebook and on Hierarchy, I believe.
And the other modern way of watching cricket, of course, which is the updating blogs, although it's not quite the same, but hey.
It ain't the same. It's not for this.
Okay. Right, where else are we heading? Oh, Team New Zealand. Now, what's your take on this? Is there a sense of inevitability that there's just way more money offshore and the motivation for people with way more money to lure it? How do you think it's going to play out?
I think it will go offshore, and if you look at it from a stone cold business perspective, it should, because if the money's not there, and this is not a cheap competition to run, not a cheap sport to excel at, Team New Zealand can't afford to undercut what they can do. But Team New Zealand and the America's Cup in this country has been built over the past 20, 30 years hugely on the loyalty factor and the we are New Zealand. We are doing this for New Zealand. We want to win this cup and bring it back here so we can race here. All those sailors who want to go race somewhere else, turncoats, traitors, how dare they? They're turning their back on their country. Is it okay now? Should the same rhetoric not apply? A lot of money went into getting the resources required for the America's Cup now. The point of it was a gamble. If they win, it means we get another dip and we can keep building the resources in the Auckland waterfront. Now, those resources are not going to waste, but they're certainly not getting the same return on investment. COVID made sure we didn't get the same kind of audiences in here. It makes sense commercially. The reasons and rationale makes perfect sense. But I can't help but think that Grant Dalton is one of the wiliest people I've ever come across in my entire journalism career. He knows what he's doing. He's a shrewd operator. Part of me just sees in the back of my head, he's knocked this back. He's going to go fish out for bigger dollars. And in that time, someone from New Zealand is going to kind of jump in and go, well, if we go privately, perhaps we can
do this and that. Well, that's the option. I mean, where's the other 100 mil coming from private sector somewhere? You know?
Somewhere. But look, it doesn't even have to be the 100 mil up to what they want, right? It's like when you're buying a house, you say, oh, this is what we want, but you know you'll accept less.
And you see, that's the thing. There's such enormous deep pockets overseas. And look, I haven't done the research to point at names and countries. But if some, you know, I was going to say playboy, that's not the right word, but if some ego or company decides they want it and they'll throw limitless amounts at it. I take your point. If they're thinking long term about the Team New Zealand, 5 million Team of New Zealand support for Team New Zealand, they will think very hard about taking it away. But that is weighed against just phenomenal sums of money potentially overseas.
And as long as they're prepared to accept that, I think that, and if they are, you know, fair play. I want to see Team New Zealand do well no matter the circumstances. I've got no problem with them testing the market, but just be very clear. So far, the exclusive negotiating period has closed, not the ability for New Zealand to be part of negotiations going forward. So imagine if it ends up staying here and they say, look, we got offered more money, but we stayed for less. They're back to being heroes again and everyone buys Red Sox.
There you go. Let's see how it plays out. There's still a bit of rugby to go.
Yes, there is. It is the last game of the Super Season, and it's the bizarre part of the season where it is the Trans-Tasman competition, which is played out essentially by Australian teams lining up to get beaten by New Zealand teams, and two New Zealand teams going for the title now. Now, the two teams competing for the crown to be crowned the best in Australasia in the domestic competition won a collective 7 out of 16 games. But they are unbeaten to this stage in this competition because so far they've only played Australian teams. And the winner will then be crowned Super Rugby Trans-Tasman champion. Next year, there is just back to the joint competition. So as, you know, it is Trans-Tasman with the Pacific teams, as we know, added in. So if whoever wins this game, it's Blues or Highlanders, who goes in as defending champ next year? Is it the Blues / Highlanders the defending champ for the comp? Or as do we acknowledge the Crusaders as the dominant force from the local comp? And who has bragging rights? Like, it's like English football where there's winning the Premier League is seen as bigger. So being crowned King of England is better than being champions of Europe with the Champions League in the eyes of many. So it's the one you want to win most. So this competition has not lived up to the expectations. Let's be fair. But one of these teams is about to win a title. For the Blues, it could be the first title in 18 years. Think about that, 18 years. Fans of the Blues have been born, never seen success, become parents within that time, and they now have children who have been burdened with this level of disappointment as well. It's a long time. There could be people who have become grandparents who weren't even parents at the stage of the last Blues win. There's a lot of water under that bridge.
But also, for sure, it was so intractable, their problems. It didn't matter who you brought in, they didn't seem to be able to turn it around.
No.
And look,
this is, you know, they're not beating the Crusaders in the local competition, based competition for this. They didn't have to beat the Crusaders to get there. The Crusaders didn't make the final and didn't lose a game, right? So it's take that for what it will. But it is going to be a great moment for the Blues should they get it done. And also the Highlanders, if they can achieve the upset at Eden Park, then it will be a wonderful feat for them too. So someone's getting a trophy and they've earned it through this competition. But it's a strange world that we live in with Super Rugby.
All right, we just got a couple of things to tick off very quickly, please, if we could. You want to note the passing of Ian Edgar, who has got a big legacy in many fields of as a philanthropist, but sport, absolutely one of them.
So absolutely. Look, first of all, you question whether we have the incredible roof-covered Forsyth Barr Stadium without his involvement. It's his investment firm, he was a large part of getting that across the line. It's hugely important for and revolutionary in the sporting landscape here. He's given so much to things like the Winter Games, to the Edgar Centre, of course, and down in his native South Island. Loves everything he's done down there. He's part of been a patron of the Sports Hall of Fame, New Zealand football. He's done so much, so he should be championed for what he's achieved, let alone being the New Zealand Olympic Committee president. He was given the title of honorary president off the back of that. So you throw in everything else he achieved with the arts and every other form of philanthropy, what a loss it is for New Zealand. And we can only thank him for what he's achieved. It's been amazing.
And just quickly, some interesting comings and goings re the Olympic team.
Yeah, so look, we know obviously Mahi Drysdale missed out, but Sarah Walker too will not be there for this run. It'll be Rebecca Petch will be in the BMX for the one spot we have there. So another kind of passing of the torch here for what will be one of the most obscure, bizarre Olympic Games of all time. But we're going to losing a lot of our icons. But just remember, every icon who came in was a rookie to start with. So hopefully with the start of more to come. And the swimming team really interests me. Zero Olympic experience there. Seven swimmers going and virtually no Com Games world champs for that too, with Lewis Clearbit kind of being the head and shoulders name amongst that. So really interesting times watching these teams get picked.
Just finally, we got to mention the bottles of Coke get moved.
Amazing.
How much did the Coke stock market plummet?
Yeah, so
Coke on the stock market.
Very quickly, Ronaldo, world's most famous player, moved 2 bottles of Coke out of screen at a Euro 2020 press conference, and Coke's stock plummeted more than 5.5 billion New Zealand dollars off the back of that. Now, they're obviously trying to do what they can to tell people they have to be involved with this. They have to, they can't move bottles unless it's for religious reasons. People point to some hypocrisy of Ronaldo being a former Coca-Cola sponsor. But if you ever wondered what impact sports people have, billions and billions of dollars worth of impact. Amazing.
Do you know what? It wasn't that he moved the Coke bottles out. He moved water in, didn't he?
Yes.
That's the real message.
He's a smart man. Wait for Ronaldo flavoured or themed, water to come. It's coming. I guarantee it.
Thanks so much, Sam Ackerman. Enjoy yourself this weekend. I hope it goes well. I think this team really deserves it. Sam Ackerman is our sports commentator.